What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The most special of guests, dare I say.
Well, now you can't see this, kids at home, but the good news is that I have gone about fashioning myself a one true host trophy of sorts.
You fashioned this?
Yeah, well, you know. I had someone fashion it.
You had someone fashion it.
I arranged it because that's what the one true host does. It is a popcorn trophy with actual popcorn that's been like glazed inside of it. And
it
says,
actual popcorn?
I believe it is.
Okay.
And it says on it, the one true host.
Wow.
Although, from my understanding, you gained on me this week.
That's what it says here in our notes.
I was required.
Which is exciting.
I'm required to acknowledge this information, mm-hmm. but in case you couldn't tell, I got kind of quiet so that maybe like we could just skate right past it.
Right. Well, so we'll post a picture of the one true host popcorn trophy over on the Patreon.
Yes.
And while you're there, if you want to see a picture of me holding it, you should join Team Jazzy J.
Do not know.
Just throwing it out.
Okay, but here's a thought for you. Here's a thought. We could paint it gold, right?
That doesn't... Okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
If it's painted gold and it was my idea, then, I mean, like, it's solidifying my position as the one true host.
I don't think your logic follows at all. Just because you painted it doesn't make it permanently yours.
I think it does.
I don't think it does.
I think it does.
I don't think it does.
At what point in time do you own something, if not when once you have painted it gold?
Wow. You could have used this advice for yourself last week when you were having trouble identifying your own feelings about things.
Interesting.
Maybe you just need a bunch of gold paint around your house. I don't think it makes sense, but if it helps you,
it does.
Great.
Then when
I come to your house where I haven't been in like 6 months now, I'll be like, oh, this one's not Alice's.
All
the gold stuff, that's Ben's.
50% of the objects in my home are now gold.
Right.
Also, what I might do, if I can ever figure out which house is Karen Spoiler's, I could bring a can of spray paint with me.
Oh, no.
Stick with me now. When Schuster does his business, let her know. Which, by use of gold,
it will be gold.
This could be no one else's other than Ben's.
Right. They'll know.
They'll know. I would never do that, by the way. That would be very rude.
That would be.
The gold paint would probably kill the grass, and I would feel terrible about that.
Then you'd have actually killed the grass.
Oh, can't have that.
Dude, okay. I found dog poop in my yard this week.
No.
So frustrating.
No, you did not.
So frustrating. Not even like it's not even like in a spot where people are unlikely to walk. You know, if it were like around the corner behind a bush but still in the yard, I'd be like, well, this is rude. But
But
I'd be like, well, I can see why maybe they were like, I guess it's okay here or something.
No.
It is right next to my mailbox.
No.
Right next to.
Next to the mailbox.
Oh, worse.
Yeah, no, that's I feel like that's maybe something we should make extra crispy crystal clear, is that, like, I'm not in favor of people leaving it.
Right.
I'm just not opposed to the idea that by nature of walking your dog, you need to, like, clean
avoid
up.
Avoid the yard.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's okay to go in the yard as long as you pick up.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So,
I'm okay with that, too.
No, and what's interesting about this is I actually had, in yet another unbelievable dog poop.
Ben, how many chapters to this story are there?
Jay, it never ends. It never ends.
What it sounds like.
Okay, so I went to middle school and high school with this guy named Ryan, and his last name starts with the letter D, meaning he was in my homeroom because it was done by last name, and we were like the C's, which carried over. He was like the last person in mm-hmm. our homeroom.
Sure.
And so I pretty much like had homeroom with him forever, a bunch of classes. He sat with me at lunch every once in a while. And he lives nearby my house now. And it's been like a long time. He went to a different college and we haven't like really been friends for a while or whatever. But when we pass each other, we're like, yo, what's up? And that's it. One day I watched as he walked by and his dog used the bathroom in my yard, and I could tell he was having this panic moment, which is when you go to grab your bag out of like the little holster, there was no bag. And he was like you could sort of like see the dawning comprehension of like, oh no.
How often are you just like sitting out? It seems like you catch a lot of people in the act of picking up or not picking up.
Well, I observe my grass.
He'd stop there. You know, Alice, if you need me, I'll be watching the grass.
I'll be watching the grass to make sure it's still good out there. No, I think really what it comes down to is that I'm on a corner, which you are too, actually, now that I come to think of it. Mm. And it is a very highly trafficked corner. Yeah. So I think that more than anything, it's usually not that uncommon for me to be like somewhere where I have ready access to somebody who could be walking in front of my property. But anyway, so Mr. Ryan D walks off, and I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, no big deal. He does know it's my house.
Right.
But he walks off, and then, like, 5 minutes later, rolls up in his car, gets out with a bag, and cleans up after his dog.
Okay, so now the question is, do you suspect that Ryan is a little colonel?
Ooh!
Yeah, was this moment of panic not just, oh, no, I'm out of bags, but, oh, no, of all the places on Earth, I'm out of bags on Ben Carlin's yard.
The one true host of Popcorn Culture?
For now, yes. Do you think, now I'm curious, now it sounds like another confrontation is required.
No, a confrontation.
Not a confrontation, but a conversation.
To ask to Mr. Ask. Ryan D, right. Do you listen to the pop? Did you know that there's been unexpected amounts of dog poop related phenomenon happening in my world?
Well, certainly if he listens, he'll probably just tell you, like, oh, you were talking about me.
Yeah, it would be hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be hilarious.
But otherwise, I don't even know if you need to, like, if you need to ask specifically if he's aware of it. Just get an idea. Like, hey, you listen to any good podcasts? The podcasts? Like, podcasts lately? You know?
Okay. What
was that?
Like, oh, drop a little, like, you listen to any popcast podcasts? Who said pop?
Somebody's throwing stuff, huh?
Does it smell like butter?
Yeah. Listen to any good podcasts lately?
Yeah, no, I like this plan.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure I'll get a full report on this because, hey, I only thought there'd be one chapter to dog poop story.
And now we're on three.
Now we're on chapter three.
And if anything, we have an addendum, if you will, in the form of your story, which I now have rudely interrupted, as the one true host tends to do.
Oh, I don't know if you rudely interrupted. There's not much follow-up.
So what do you do? Like, is there...
Oh, I got a shovel.
You got a shovel?
I mean, I already had a shovel.
You didn't go purchase
a shovel. I wasn't like,
shovel.
Oh boy, time to go to the Lowe's. Gotta go pick me up a pooper scooper. Although, I have a shovel, or I went and got my shovel, which is actually kind of funny because if you listen to After the Final Pop, we discussed how there's been a wild animal, a non-dog, doing its business in my backyard, which is fenced in. Just so annoying because you would think that in a fenced in backyard, when you don't own a dog, at least one thing you could have peace of mind about is I can walk around barefoot out here.
It's a generous perk.
Generous perk. You know, you gotta take a win where you can get one. And I like to actively enjoy this. I like to think about it and be like, there's no poop here. Great.
this is the best.
Except some animal has been getting in. Don't know what it is. I think it must be a deer, which is impressive because there's a fence. But anyway, not the point. I was out there cleaning up because me and Luke like to go play out in the yard.
Of course.
Of course. And of course, he's fascinated by what I'm doing. He's like, scoop to poop? Scoop poop? So now anytime he sees it, he asks me to go do it and have to get the shovel in.
Oh, wow. So now it's become a spectacle.
Right. Yes. It's like, he's like very interested. He's like, this is an interesting thing that's going down. This thing. Okay. All right.
This
Daddy
to me,
is doing something.
This to me makes me feel like you have like the ability to like potentially get Luke interested in things by way of like just doing them in front of him.
Yes. This is a thing I think parents at new parents have to like adjust to. Like in your mind, you're used to being around people who choose their interests or who might be interested in things like based on their experiences and stuff. But for children, especially your children, just the act of you doing it is enough for them to like it.
Yeah.
So there have been, I'm trying to think of some other examples now. Goodness. But there's definitely things where because you're doing it, they're like, I want to do it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So this is, you can... Like, one of the things I try and reinforce, though, is, like, picking up. So, like, you know, cleaning up.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, like, if you're just out there and you're like, Luke, you gotta clean all this stuff up, which that sounds like way more aggressive than I would ever talk to Luke.
I was gonna say, yeah, I've never heard that tone of voice ever.
Me neither. I was like, why am I saying it this way?
This is weird.
But if, you know, you're, like, asking him to clean up, of course, he's gonna be like, that's boring. But if I just start doing it and I'm like, oh, look at this, let's clean up, this is fun, he'll be like, I pick up too, you know?
Oh, so like, yeah. You make it a game.
Yeah, everything's a game.
Everything's a game.
It's nice when it's clean. But so it's like very funny then, because then sometimes stuff like that can backfire where it'll be like he enjoyed picking stuff up with you.
Right.
So now he'll go dump something out and be like, pick it up?
Oh, you know what I mean? I see, yes.
Yeah.
Like, let's see how many things we can now place everywhere, so the job of cleaning up is way harder.
Right, yes, yes. It's like, well, picking up stuff with you was fun, Dad, so I would like to pick up more stuff, and the only way to do that is to make a mess, so...
You know what? I think that's the type of thing where you just, you ride it forever until he just reaches the point where he's just an incredibly tidy kid.
Well, that's the, you know, that's the dream.
You want to know, this is going to be one of those things, though, I feel like with my children eventually, is that they are going to be complete and utter slobs.
No.
I think so. I think so. I think Alice and I both are like, we're like a controlled kind of messy. Like, we're not the type of people where you could not like just like pop into the house and we wouldn't have like a dish full of dirty sinks.
you probably wouldn't have that.
I definitely would not have a dish full of dirty sinks.
You got so many sinks, man.
It's like, this is way too many for one kitchen. We would not have dirty dishes in the sink or anything like that. Or, you know, like, I would say in general, the floor has been like recently vacuumed, mm-hmm. and things are typically put away, especially in like the primary like living spaces.
Yeah.
But I would say otherwise, I am like my car, for example, I have like a weird thing where like typically I actually very much enjoy washing my car.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a fun way for me to go and do like a like an activity where I'm mentally checked out. It's almost like showering. Like, you know, you have like shower thoughts.
Right.
It's exactly the same thing. Like, I know exactly how to wash my car. There's nothing challenging about it. It's just like a process that takes 1 hour of my time.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of like sink into the background. On the other hand, though, the inside of my car, particularly the door jamb on the driver's side, is usually full of whatever like granola bar breakfasts I've had for the past like 2.5 months of my life.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting note then about our own father and how we might have been impacted in these exact ways by him. So you talk about washing your car. Like, I find that I have met many adults who the act of washing their car is just something they don't do. It's like not really a priority for them. It's not like something, it's like whatever, it'll rain.
Right, no. Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll take it to the drive-thru when it's real bad.
Right.
And, you know, I'll pay $6 for that or whatever.
Right.
But like I we don't even wash their car.
Sure.
Right. But I think when I know when we were kids, the act of washing our parents' cars, I think, was one of those things our dad was making fun so that we would just do it.
So we would just like go and wash cars.
Like, oh, we're just like playing with dad.
Yeah.
Washing the car.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that? Like, we would like stand out there barefoot on the gravel driveway, of course.
Obviously.
Yeah. And I feel like we'd get like assigned a tire and it'd be like, all right, I'm going to wash this whole side of the car. You focus on this tire or something.
Like, oh, yeah, 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 with the red scrub brush. I remember that.
And you'd be like, oh, I'm so helping right now.
Okay, what I remember is the chronic fear of dropping the sponge onto the ground because we had a gravel driveway.
Yeah.
And if that sponge came in contact with the ground, then you just... Then the second that it happened, the car is already scratched beyond repair.
Right, because you're gonna, if you press the sponge with the gravel on it to it's the just... car. Yeah, you don't want that.
You don't
that's why
want
we
got, that.
That's why we were on tire duty.
That's why we were on tire, because you can't mess up the tires.
You can't mess up the tires.
No, they're perfectly safe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do you find that you are a car washer as an adult then?
I haven't washed my car by hand in a very long time. But I would say the last time I was regularly washing my car was when you and I lived together, right when we were starting Super Carlin Brothers.
Yeah.
And the main reason that stopped this practice was because at the house I bought, the access from the hose to where the car was parked.
Too far.
Really far.
Yeah.
Very massively inconvenient. And we also had to park underneath trees no matter where we parked. So it was like a losing battle at all times.
At all times.
Yeah. So got out of it. And at this point, I haven't really gotten back into it, but I think we discussed on the podcast when we were talking about our Amazon purchases, I only recently began even owning a hose again.
Nice.
So
did you get never? No, you did not get a Never Kink. I was going to ask. That's the name brand I normally go for. Never Kink hoses. Hashtag not sponsored.
I don't think that is the brand name of hose that I got, but mine does not kink.
Does not kink.
Does
got
not
it.
Kink.
Oh, handy, handy.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I got a new sprinkler today. It came in the mail.
This is like a sad thing, actually, but this, like, we have been debating on looking at, like, a new house, like, moving from our current house to a different house that's not a corner lot and nowhere near Karen's Boilers.
Right.
And basically the only one that we've kind of gone and, like, walked around because no one lives there anymore and the house was available for sale was this one house, and the driveway was so big. And, that was all I could focus on. The only, like, Alice loved the house. The only thing that I liked about it was, like, dude, it is going to be so nice to wash my car in this driveway. Like, that was the only thing I could take away from the house.
What a selling point.
So I don't know how this has become such a thing, but apparently it has.
That is fascinating. As we're talking about washing cars, it occurs to me that if I went and got the materials, washing the car probably would be something Luke would love doing.
I bet he would love doing it, especially if you get a foam cannon.
Oh, yes. So satisfying.
Should we come over? Can I come over and bring my foam cannon?
Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
I could do that. So in case the viewers at home don't know, a foam cannon is like the coolest, most unnecessarily over-the-top way to wash your car, but it's amazing.
I wouldn't say, it's just a pressure washer with foam.
Yes. And an attachment for the pressure washer that has like a cup that you fill with like this specific foaming material. And then when you run the pressure washer, it literally like will turn our Jeep is like bright red.
Yeah.
It will turn the entire thing white. Like a snow white vehicle.
Awesome.
Amazing. I'll be sure that Jordan puts a link to, I think I have a video on my Instagram somewhere.
Right.
Of this exact thing happening. It is like the most satisfying thing to watch too. And then you let it sit and then all the dirt gets absorbed and loosened up. And then you go and wash it with the brush. And then when you rinse it off, it is like sporkily clean.
Yeah.
Oh, the best.
Do you wax?
I don't wax because usually I don't wax as like an every wash type of thing. I do wax my cars once a year, but typically the car wash that I use has like some type of built-in, performance based.
Right. Not as effective.
Not as effective, but seems to help with something anyway.
Do you ever go to like the drive-through car wash?
Every once in a while, mostly because of the free vacuums.
Oh, the free vacuums are nice. Whenever I wash the car more recently, it's been like through the drive-through thing because, convenience.
Sure.
Yeah. Didn't want to drag the hose all the way down to the road.
Ugh. The worst.
Yeah. If you could see the setup at my old house, you'd understand. But I'm always like torn because they're like, oh yeah, do you want like the basic wash or do you want the advanced wash? You don't want like the hot wax, triple action, whatever thing. And I'm always like, at some point, it's not doing anything more, right? Like, how much of it, like, I'm doing the drive-through. No matter what, it's not going to be as effective as if you do it by hand.
Okay, but have you seen Ant-Man the movie?
Yeah.
Isn't there like a whole gag about the undercarriage wash?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's you only get that in the ultra premium package.
Well, sure, but I think you probably only need the undercarriage wash if you live in a place where it snows like 6 months of the year.
Maybe. Right? Still makes me feel better to know that it's getting rinsed.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where as you're driving in and it's doing the undercarriage wash, you only get as much out of it as is able to spray up under your vehicle as you're driving into the space.
You gotta drive slow.
You gotta drive real slow.
Real slow.
But then at the same rate, you're kind of worried, like, what if this door shuts on my car? Or what if the thing starts and I'm in the wrong position? And then you start having a panic attack.
I've not experienced that problem. I'm not afraid it's gonna hit me.
No, okay. No. I'm not truly afraid of it, but like, a small part of me is fighting this battle that's like, I wanna go slow, but not too slow.
Not too slow.
The appropriate amount of slow.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so to your other problem where you have a car door full of granola bar wrappers.
Granola bar wrappers.
Yeah.
Fit Aids is my recent drink of choice.
So the other thing I think I picked up from our own father was anytime he's filling up gas,
throw everything away.
Throw all the bits of garbage away.
Yeah.
All the time. It's good sequencing, Pops.
It's great sequencing. Yeah. And this is the thing about Dad is that I think it surprises me sometimes because I feel like for some reason I would have thought that he would not be good about this, but instead Dad is like surprisingly tidy.
Yes.
When it comes to things, I don't know. Like, I don't know if these are the things that I wonder about so much when I think about being a parent is like how much of being a parent is literally the process of like balancing your ability to have your job, career, whatever, individual hobbies, also making sure that they're like doing their homework and being well fed and doing activities and all that type of thing.
Right.
And then also like teaching them specific life lessons as like a like okay, I'm going to sit down today, and by the end of today, they're going to know, and like, it'll be ingrained forever.
I don't think I've had that moment just yet, but you'll find, I think, that almost like all moments are teachable moments.
All moments are teachable moments. Yeah. Okay. So how often as like things are happening with Luke, especially where you are like already looking to the future and being like, oh man, he's going to be so good at this. Like cleaning up afterwards, for example. Like, do you feel like you're like ingraining something into like those very like impressionable years?
For sure, yes. And sometimes it's very interesting because like little kids, especially like toddlers, are just sponges. Like they're absorbing stuff all the time.
Right.
And sometimes like you can repeat something to them like every single day and not see them like internalize it or not see like results from it for. Like you feel like you're just like talking at a wall,
right?
But then like a month later, they'll just like spit something back at you, and or like they'll do the thing, or they'll like they will have understood. But all and you know, it's like, oh, I was getting through to them, and that's like a really cool feeling. You're like, oh, you were listening, like
man,
yeah. It's like it's not happening right away, but certainly it is happening.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
I will say, if I had to guess, that. It would not surprise me. I don't know, of course, at all what Dad was like before we were born, obviously.
Obviously.
But it would not
we weren't there.
It would not surprise me at all if the tidiness is a result of having had kids.
Oh, I see. So like it was almost a behavior that he picked up specifically because the process of having kids inherently means that things are just a mess.
Things are inherently just a mess, Ben.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. The mess is never ending. And I would say it's not like I gotta clean up because it's a mess in here. I think when you're a parent, it becomes like there's so many things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can absolutely at least control the mess. you can have domain. Made over the mess.
Nice.
And I think that probably is something many, many parents are eventually start to go through, and they're like, well, God, I can't stop them from crying right now. I don't always know when I'm gonna get to sleep. I don't always know when I'm gonna get to eat a meal in silence or have a moment to myself, but I can at least make it clean in here.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so this is I feel like this is interesting because it does make me wonder, like, I feel like I'm having all of these moments, like, the older we get, the more I'm, like, watching you and our younger brother Tyler, like, you know, raise children and stuff. I'm trying so hard to all of a sudden start to view the world, like, our childhood memories mm-hmm. through the lens of our parents
yeah.
and wonder, like, what they were thinking in reaction to the situations that were like unfolding before them.
Mm.
And so like one of the things, for example, is like as I started getting older and just wanted to like play with tools.
Yeah.
There was like every year on Christmas, we have like this sort of like family holiday that we call it like 1205 day. It was like the day that our dad proposed to our mom.
Right.
And they got a Christmas tree. And so like every year on 1205 day, we get a Christmas tree.
Right.
And so when we were kids, our dad had like a 40-minute commute to work. So like I think he had like taken the night off to be there for 1205 day or something like
right.
that. And so he got the Christmas tree and he went to go grab one of the saws, like a handsaw
yeah.
in order to like trim the branches or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like for the weeks prior, I had been going out into the backyard and like cutting down branches just in the trees that separated our yard from the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, for fun.
For fun, you know.
You know.
And I say it had been like weeks before, but it had probably been like, you know, for the past like 3 months or something like that.
Right.
Obviously, after my hard day of work, I wasn't going to bring the tools back to the garage.
Oh, no.
So I left them, you know, in the pile of leaves.
I mean, if I recall, this was sort of like a fort.
It was sort of like a fort.
Yeah. I do remember this particular pastime of yours.
Yeah. Well, so basically, we had a walnut tree, you know?
Yeah.
And the walnuts produce these nearly baseball-sized...
Weapons,
as it were.
Called walnuts.
And the way that it would work is I built a fort, and then in order to test the strength of my fort, you would stand on the hill above and try to...
With the high ground. Yeah.
Significant high ground,
but I didn't have any, like, walls or defenses. You had like, a bunker.
I had a bunker.
Yeah.
I had all the defense.
Yeah.
But, like, I had to throw up a hill.
Right.
And so the game was basically, you would throw walnuts at my fort, and we just tested to see if it held.
Right. The little walnut wars. I think about that sometimes, and I'm like, even when we were doing it, the idea that one of us was going to hit the other person, like, it just doesn't even seem like something I was...
Preoccupied with?
I was like...
It wasn't really a reality. It wasn't the goal.
It wasn't really the goal. I was like, yeah, I'm throwing these at him, but am I even trying to hit him? And I, too, this is the funniest, the other memory I have very vividly of this.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Because you have the same one, is that I don't think, basically, we would do this, like, all the time.
Yeah.
No one ever hit anybody.
Never.
Yeah. It turns out, like, 10, 12-year-olds, really bad aim.
Yes.
And can't throw very hard.
But
I had a friend over and you had a friend over.
Yes.
My friend's name was Zach. Your friend's name was Chris.
Yep.
Right? So I'll try and be nice here, but I would say Chris was out of shape.
I to be fair, I think he was definitely one of these kids that like grew into himself.
Sure.
Like I knew him once he grew, like, you know, from when he was like 4'5".
Right.
Till he became like a 6-foot tall person or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was just like one of those people that like took time to like fill in. But you are correct.
Okay.
Yes.
My friend though. Zach was like the, you know, the catcher for his little league team.
Yeah.
So the catcher has one very important throw they have to make, which is from home plate to second base. So that guy doesn't steal first. So they can pretty much whip a baseball pretty good. And boy, oh boy, do I have just memory of Zach landing a walnut, like square belly button on Chris. Just as like reverberations.
It made, like, all I can remember about this is like, yeah, is basically the noise that it made. And it was so bad because it was like, it was this game that you and I had played, and it was sort of like we just said, like there was the agreed upon understanding, like neither of us was actually trying to hurt one another.
Right, it was just like fun to throw stuff at each other.
Right.
Right.
In a
right?
safe way.
Exactly. You get it.
Mom is listening at home right now, and she's like, I did not know you were throwing the walnuts at each other.
Like, well, what, you made us pick up wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of them. What'd you think we were doing? Yeah, that was the other problem. On top of the gravel driveway was 500 walnuts.
Yes, so many walnuts all the time.
Yeah.
And yes, you're exactly right. We had to fill the wheelbarrow up with them.
Yeah, go dump them in the back.
Yeah. You know what's a weird word? Wheelbarrow.
Yeah, it's one of those I'm like, I'm just going to say the middle part real fast and hopefully, and people will know what I mean.
People know what you mean. I'm still like mentally convinced. Like I have like learned to call it a wheelbarrow, but it is like in my mind, it should just be renamed wheelbarrow.
Yes. Like in my mind, it was like wheelbarrow. Like to me, like the reckoning of the name wheelbarrow versus like what you actually bought was that the reason people had these was because once upon a time people had barrels and they were like, oh, you know what? What if we put a wheel on one end and some handles and cut this in half
and then
you'll have a wheelbarrow.
Yes. It was like,
right. And it's like
the name is the origin story.
The name is the origin story. And then people were like, okay, that was a great idea. Let's mass produce them in a much more effective and efficient way.
Right.
With like an even bigger thing to hold whatever you're hauling.
Right.
But it'll still be called a wheelbarrow. It's like, that's my, like in my mind, that was 100% why it was called a wheelbarrow. But it's in fact not called a wheelbarrow. It's a wheelbarrow.
Yes. And it is like mildly infuriating. Like even, yeah. Like I have like been on this for so long. It was almost like I had like fallen off the wagon a little bit by saying wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it feels so much better. It's like relief.
To
you
say
know,
it?
It's like to say it, the like in my mind, the right way.
Okay. So Ben, let me ask you this then. This is another word I just like, I'm like, I hope I'm saying it right. If you were to like step off of the sidewalk onto the road, what would you have stepped off of?
The curb?
Yeah, right? The curb or the curve?
I
know.
Well, now.
Now I know.
So actually, now that you say that, I almost do feel like a lot of times when I say it, I just sort of throw like a VB in there. The curve.
The curb. Who knows? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I tripped up the curb. What? Curve?
It is curb, right?
Right?
Don't do this to me.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
The curb. I don't know. It's curved.
It is curved. Good point. Good point. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But wow, this is definitely.
I know. Bumps at spike. Everyone loves volleyball.
Volleyball.
That's one of those as a kid. Total gamble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Volleyball? You play it with the ball. That makes maybe more sense than vol.
Right.
Where's this vol?
What are, yeah, right?
It's a, oh, it's a volley, I get it.
Ah, okay, we got there, yeah. What are other words like this? Surely there are plenty where everybody is saying them wrong, and the way that people say them wrong is better than the way that they're said correctly.
Oh, yeah. For all intents and purposes.
Oh,
right?
Yes. I think we've talked about this on this show before.
Oh, I mean, I made a whole video about it once upon a time.
Yes. Well, yeah. So I think that for the longest period of my life, I would always say for all intensive purposes.
Right.
And
pretty much means the same thing.
It feels like it says the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like intensively, all of the purposes.
Right. There's like so many, it's like there's no matter, because everyone knows what it means. Like even, I think one of the ones I've heard people say is like intents and porpoises. And it's like for all intents, it's like from your original intent all the way down to something as stupid as porpoises, this is what we're getting at.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It still makes sense?
It still makes sense. It still makes sense. Especially because saying sometimes, kind of weird.
Exactly. Like, what is it? Old wives' tales?
Oh, don't even get me started on that one.
Wise? Wives? Who knows?
I feel like it should be wise.
Wise tale.
Oh my God. Like, these are old, like wise guy tales.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what I,
you know what those elderly wise men say.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, wait, I guess it's not that I think about it as a gendered thing in any way, shape or form. It's like, you know how you could say like, okay, wise guy.
Sure. Yeah.
That's a saying as
right,
well.
Right.
So I think that's the way that I always thought it. Like it was almost like a, like something that someone said that was compelling, but isn't ultimately true.
Right.
Right.
Isn't yes.
that like that?
Yeah.
That's
like,
the whole
like an old
that,
wives tale. It's like, that just sounds made up.
Right. Okay. I know that we've talked about this before on the pop. So I'm curious how similar our conversations were from the first time that we discussed it.
like, am I listening to episode 4?
It's like, this feels like the exact, you guys are on repeat. Maybe really what's happening is that we are just getting to the point where we're going to have to just like start recycling our ideas.
No
like,
chance.
Do we have a limited number of ideas inside of our brain skull?
Oh, I mean, I don't think so.
Okay.
We might have a limited number of stories to tell.
We could have a limited number of stories.
Do you remember when we used to go whip crab apples?
I do. I think we've talked about that too.
No, I don't think we have.
No, we haven't?
No.
Okay. So, whipping crab apples. So, next to our
walnut
tree, the other spherical things that we had on the ground were crab apples.
Yeah.
Which are not tasty at all.
No.
Although, how they make lots of apple products?
So, basically, yeah, I think if I understand the way apples work correctly, is that if you plant the seeds of an apple, you will not produce a tree that bears
red delicious apples.
Yeah, like if you plant the seeds of a red delicious apple, you will not get a tree that bears red delicious apples.
You'll get a crab apple tree.
You will get a crab apple tree. Probably. It's like a complete gamble, you know. Basically, every seed will produce an apple tree, but most of them are pretty terrible.
Got it.
And every now and then somebody gets super lucky and you'll get like a marketable, sweet, crisp apple. And then what you do is you have to take a graft from the original tree and attach that to a different tree, and then it'll produce those apples. So all like red delicious apples are from the same original red delicious apple tree,
ugh,
which is really cool.
It is cool.
Anyway, though, we didn't have such a tree in our neighbor's backyard. We had just a regular old crab apple tree.
Yes, and we had, mm-hmm. I don't even know what these sticks were because I feel like I have not seen them in my adult life.
There was many things about the house we grew up in that seem very unique and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but there was
a patch of boulders.
There were a patch of boulders.
Yeah. Do you remember the boulders?
Normally you got to pay extra for boulders.
Dude, I kid you not. We walk around the neighborhood and there'll be people's yards that will just have giant old boulders. And I'll be like, oh my God, Beth, that is such a cool boulder. She'll be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Beth, that, oh man, I wish we had boulders.
I wish we had.
Like, oh, there's
man. Can I get you a boulder for your birthday?
I mean, I don't see why not.
There's a place you'd put it?
I'd find a spot.
I'd find a spot.
I'd find a spot.
Like, Jake, go outside. When go outside. Go ahead and check it out.
When we were house hunting, we drove past a house. You know how some places have, like, privacy fences or privacy trees or whatever?
Yeah.
This place was built next to what can only be described as a privacy boulder. And, I mean, the kids were just playing on. They were having the time of their lives.
I bet they were.
I know. Like, man, every kid needs a boulder.
Every kid. I'm saying it. I'm saying it.
I've been saying it for years.
Man. We should make t-shirts that say every kid needs a boulder.
Every kid needs a boulder. Okay.
Anyway.
What was I talking about? Crab.
So
whipping the crab apples. I don't know what these sticks were.
But they could have been like used in the Hunger Games to make an actual bow and arrow,
to,
I feel.
To me, when people are like, tell those old wives' tales of when their parents used to make them go like, pick a switch.
Oh yeah,
you know, like to be hit with or whatever.
Yeah.
Not, it's like, if you don't pick a big enough one, I'll go pick one myself.
Oh, that's like
terrible
the origin
stories.
Of the rule of thumb, is it not?
Oh, I don't know that.
I believe. Okay.
I don't know.
You continue, and I'm gonna research, and I'll be listening out of one ear.
Okay, that sounds terrible. Anyway, yeah, we had these. I don't know what plant it was, but it was like this really sturdy, long, flexible stick, and it was like on the other side of the yard from the crabapple tree. and you would take it and you put an apple on the end, and you could like, you just basically whip it forward and it would launch the apples like, I don't even know,
like far, super far. Yeah. Like to the point where we had like this black trash can that was full of like, you know, various balls, footballs, stuff like that, a vortex, things like that. And we were not very strong, as, you know, we pointed out earlier with our ability to throw walnuts at one another from, you know, 15 feet away.
Yeah.
These things would like, it was, I don't even know how to describe it, like almost satisfying to see how far they would go from you.
I feel like to say like like 40-ish yards feels about right.
Easily.
If not further.
Yeah.
But we, And I feel like there was like some shed in the woods we were like aiming at.
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
I believe we also jumped off it a few times as children. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because,
for sure.
Because the dangers were like, well, I haven't broken my ankle yet, so...
Isn't that such a game when you're a kid? Can I jump off this?
It is a game.
It is a game.
I think that worries me.
I know. I'm like, man, the amount of stuff I jumped off of and didn't get hurt, I can't believe it. Like, I swear we were... I mean, it'd be interesting to go back and look and see like, oh, this was only like 4 feet off the ground or something. But it felt like at least 8 feet off or something.
It felt high.
And you're just jumping off the roof to the ground.
To the ground.
I mean, it's grass, so it's like softer than concrete, but still, you know, I wouldn't want to jump 8 feet to the ground today.
Yes. You know, the other thing that we love to do in this same proximity of our world?
Yeah.
We had a creek.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like for some reason we were obsessed with the idea of creating a dam with rocks inside the creek. Do you remember doing this?
I don't remember creating a dam in the creek. No.
No, maybe it was just
maybe
me.
It was a you thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, eventually the neighbor guy whose land the creek was technically on came over to me and very aggressively asked me to stop building dams in the creek.
Oh.
Because I had done it so many times. Every time I came back, it was completely gone. And I was like, what is happening to my rocks?
Someone was going down and being like, oh no.
Oh no, somebody put a bunch of rocks in the way of my creek.
Yeah.
Ugh. I always thought, like, I don't really know if I fully understood what... In my mind, there was a scenario where I could make the river stop, or the creek stop going forward.
Yeah.
Like as if rocks, without any additional, like, aggregate material to prevent water from seeping through the obvious cracks that rocks make when stacked together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kept thinking like, oh, well, I'll just keep plugging that hole and that hole and that hole until eventually the water will cease to be able to go forward.
Right, I'll have a lake.
I'll have a lake.
I don't think I understand how dams are built, because to me it seems like the river would just keep going around it.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Like how doesn't that, I don't know why it works.
Yeah.
People are like, electricity, Jane. I'm like, yeah, but how?
But how did they get there to begin with?
Where are you starting from?
Maybe it's because it's such a small body of water to begin with, and what becomes the massive amount is what's created.
Because of the stoppage. So you need like a giant wall to go in front of a very small
river,
and then the river is just like, well, it's like having the faucet on all the time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And you just are like, okay, and then you're letting the water out.
Man.
And that's what's great. Man, I just understood hydroelectricity, Ben.
We,
my mind has been blown.
I believe this makes us physicians. No, that's not even the right word, is it? It makes us a physics.
Physicists?
Physicists, not physicians. Wow.
Right.
Wow, okay.
Here we go.
Mom, if you are listening, I am sorry. Okay, can I turn the conversation to something else entirely?
By all means.
Okay, so I've had this thought lately, and I don't know why, but I'm like semi-determined to try it, and it's to use only one cup for an entire year.
Use only one cup?
Just one cup.
Okay. What do you mean? Okay, so walk me through it. So what, would you get rid of the rest of your cups?
Sort of, in a way. Like, so it's, I feel like it's a rather like minimalist idea, but it actually feels like something that like would be reasonably easy to execute, barring your level of like, what is the word for people who are good with wine? A sommelier?
Uh-huh.
Like where the glass?
Probably.
Maybe it's physician.
I'm a wine doctor.
I'm a doctor of wines. Yeah. Yeah, where like the shape, you know, of the glass can affect your ability to like drink it in the most appropriate manner.
Okay.
But so the idea would basically be like, instead of doing all these dishes, instead of having like all of these different cups, if literally you had one cup that was with you at all times, mm-hmm. and you use that at all times instead of any other cup, and it just has to apply to everything. And so,
you got to have a pretty durable cup here you're talking, because it's got to at least handle your morning coffee.
It's got to handle coffee.
Yeah.
I think it could handle water. Mm-hmm. It can handle any other beverages you might have over, you know, meals and such. You know how cups are used all the different times. Think about any occasion you use a cup. This applies to that moment.
Okay.
So I'm thinking like, you know, like one of these stainless steel like Yeti cups. Mm-hmm. Would be like my, and that's part of the game too, is like picking the most appropriate cup that can work for everything. Mm-hmm. But then it sort of just becomes like, you know, part of who you are. So it's like keys, wallet, cell phone, face mask, cup.
Of course.
Got my cup. And so with the other exception being that, like, I feel it would be okay to go to a restaurant and like not go through the inconvenience of asking the person to put their drink into your cup.
Oh, yeah. You don't like, worry about that.
There are circumstances, and I would still drink from, you know, cans as well.
Okay.
Like, you know,
wouldn't pour a can into...
I don't think that what you're going for is the goal of drinking from a cup as if that's the accomplishment. The accomplishment is to only use one cup.
Right.
In all cup-based scenarios.
What if you play Yahtzee?
Well, that's different.
Okay.
That comes with a cup.
Okay.
So, I think Yahtzee's perfectly fine.
Okay.
But that was a really good example to bring up. Yeah,
thank you.
I hadn't considered Yahtzee yet.
Think about it. You get one of those metal cups, you play in Yahtzee, it's going to be loud.
Right. So, no, what I'm trying to do, though, is simplify my world.
Yeah.
Like make the variables less and make my relationship with this cup like significant.
Okay. Well, okay. So how far down the cup hole have you gotten?
How far
is
down?
Is a cup a hole, Ben?
Don't even get people started.
Ben, is a cup a hole?
It feels like
it. A hole you can carry around?
It's a mobile hole.
I think a cup is a hole.
I think a cup is a hole.
Okay. If you were like golfing and you're putting, you're like aiming for the cup.
Yeah.
It's just a hole in the ground.
Just a hole in the ground.
Yeah. But if you picked that cup up.
It's a cup.
And it's a hole.
And it's a hole.
Yeah.
Cup is hole.
Cup is hole. Okay. Cup is hole. You heard it here first, folks.
If you really want to get frustrated, you can ask whether or not a straw has one hole, two holes, or no holes.
Oh, Ben. So far. It has two holes.
And I think literal steam coming out of your ears.
Oh my God. The number of times this comes up in our Discord server, anytime it does, it's like, you're better off just running.
You are just, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, I don't know what I argued last time. Right now, I'm pretty sure it has two holes.
Right, right, right. There's always the argument that if you cut a straw in half, though, how many holes are there?
Right. But if you cover up one, if you like squeezed one end, you'd be left with one hole. So if you let go, you'd have two holes, right?
One is a whole end, though.
Oh my God.
Does a hole have to have a bottom? Because that's the other thing, is that if a straw has no bottom, is it not just no holes?
You're right. If a cup is a hole, then a cup has a bottom. So that's like a movable hole.
Yes.
But a straw has no bottom.
A straw has no bottom.
So maybe it has no holes. Maybe I'm on team no holes.
Team no holes?
Team no holes.
All right. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Guys, let us know, maybe in the Reddit, how many holes does a straw have?
Oh, gosh.
And is a cup a hole? Okay, anyway. Getting back to your single hole.
My portable hole. My single hole for an entire year.
Yeah.
So it's like, it would just be like an interesting thing where like if you always had your cup with you or like, you know, even just in between uses. So like, you know, if you had dinner and you had like, I don't know, a ginger ale with dinner or something like that. And then you were like, okay, like, should we have a glass of wine this like tonight or something? It's like you would literally use your same cup for the glass of wine.
Right.
You wouldn't use a wine glass. And so the objective would basically be like, you know, can you survive if you live by yourself, only you or you and your significant other or whatever, if each member of the family effectively has one cup.
Yeah.
And that way there are as many cups in your cabinet as there are people who live in the home. And then you have like guest cups, you know, like in the event,
have a few
like
extra.
You can't share your cup,
right?
You know, but
yeah, that's gross.
So I think you would have a few extra, but they would almost be like in the cabinet somewhere else, like not in like the main primary location where you store your two cups.
Obviously you're gonna have lots of extra cabinet space.
Obviously.
Once you clear out all these other cups.
Exactly. And I feel like probably you would almost never even put your cups away because they would either always be like in the dish drying rack.
right,
like from being clean from their most recent use, yeah, or they would just be in use. Because I would say that I'm pretty much drinking a beverage throughout the entire day.
My guess is that the biggest challenge is going to be anytime you have left a like 90% complete beverage somewhere because you left to go do something, and then you've come back inside and you're like, man, I'm thirsty, and you're like, oh man, I gotta clean this dried coffee out of the bottom of my hole, and then I can have my water.
But that's the thing, is that like chances are it wouldn't be as bad as like a cup of coffee that was like left for like, you know, way too long to the point where it's like,
yeah,
caramelized to the bottom, because you'd be using your cup so frequently that it would just always be in pretty much ready use.
Did you arrive at this idea by yourself, or were you inspired by another solo cup? Oh,
hey, that's where it comes from, I bet.
Ironically sold in packs of a bazillion.
A bazillion, yes. No, I came up with this on my own, and I just felt like I was trying to think if there were like ways to reduce the number of decisions that you had to make in your daily life.
Yeah.
And if by doing so, if it wouldn't almost like give you a heightened relationship with this specific object, to where it's like, it's almost like you have like a, like an intimate relationship with it. Like it is it's like the way that you choose like your phone or phone case, or like what kind of wallet you carry, or what your key ring is. And like everything is like very intentional, and you're supposed to like enjoy it. And
well,
so
you're bringing up so many more objects that you could simplify too.
True. Like you could have a phone case that is a wallet.
Right. That is the scenario I'm in. I have been walletless for, I don't know, I think about it, over a year now, and it is marvelous. I would highly recommend this particular thing, because like before, yeah, leaving the house, always had to go phone, keys, wallet. Those are the three things always had to have on me.
Right.
Now it's just phone, keys.
So much
and then
easier.
Boy, even just dwindling down my key ring to as few keys as possible. That's a fun activity.
No, it is. It's a super fun activity. Or like, have you seen, there are like key rings that are like almost like pocket knives in nature, where they like fold. See, no, you're not a fan?
Not a fan. That's like, because that's then the convenience of just a regular key ring is that you can pull the one you need immediately.
Sure.
Whereas if you have like a pocket knife of key rings, you got to like
finagle
out the key every time, which is its own problem. And it requires all your keys to roughly be the same size.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. And I think my big issue with, and the reason I've never pulled the trigger on one of those before, is specifically because of my car keys, which don't carry the same shape as like regular metal keys.
Right.
They have like extra girth.
My car has no key. It's just the fob.
Just the fob. But just see, the fob you still need to have with you, right?
Yeah, you still need to have the fob.
So then like do you connect the pocket knife of keys to the fob?
I wouldn't do the pocket knife of keys, so.
You wouldn't do it at all?
Yeah, no.
How many keys are on your key ring?
I wish I could tell you right now. I need to clean it up.
Ooh, that's unlike you.
It is unlike me. Although, let me tell you, deciding to go from a wallet to just the phone wallet.
Yes.
That was like such a big decision because when you carry a wallet, it is likely to accumulate all sorts of stuff.
Yes, it is.
In it, you know, you've got like cash and receipts and ticket cards and your insurance cards and your driver's license and, you know, hotel keys and...
Oh yeah, report cards, I get you.
Yeah, right. All sorts of stuff. And it you know, a good wallet cleaning, always an important thing to do.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But when I got to even call my phone case a wallet is being pretty generous. It is literally just a phone case that has a single slot on the back for which you can fit about, I've got four, I think, cards in there now.
Got it.
And I think four is really pressing the boundaries of it. And one of them I'm even debating taking out. But I basically just carry like my debit card, my driver's license, and like the, you know, a business credit card.
Sure. Okay.
And then I also have some, like, I guess my insurance card in here. But those, I feel like I could just leave in the car.
So interestingly, my phone case as well is a wallet case, but yours has like this little like thumb push up thing where you could like move the cards up from the bottom. Mine does not have that. And so I literally have a wallet phone case that I do not keep anything in.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It does look It just still looks nice.
It does look nice. And this is the interesting thing about it. So we work with a company called The Ridge Wallet sometimes over on Super Carlin Brothers. And so when we signed up with them, I had asked them, like, you know, they didn't want us to advertise specifically their phone cases for the particular campaign we were doing. They wanted to focus on the wallet that they sell. But I asked them, I was like, would it be possible to send me one of the phone cases as well? Because I just got a new phone and I like the leather ones. And they were like, yeah, sure. So they sent me one. And it was a really interesting thing that happened, because I got it and I was like, wow, this is super like clean looking, and like I really like the look of like the leather thing or whatever. And it immediately got like super scraped up, and it was like anything it touched, it seemed like it was like peeling. And I was like, man, like I'm so bummed. I was really excited about this, and me being me, I basically just like was preoccupied with it for a minute and then was like, oh well, this is just part of my phone case now,
right?
And did nothing about it. The great news is that it like just became like the gorgeous textured leather that you want. And
it just takes a little wear and tear.
So it's actually one of those things that at first I was like, oh man, like I don't know if I could recommend this. And now I'm like, I would totally recommend it. It's super cool. Can't believe it worked out that way.
Yeah. I would say if you're listening, you're like, maybe the phone wallet is for me. Maybe the one in one, the all together is for me. I would say do go for it, because to me, it has just simplified things a lot. But the point is to simplify. So like sometimes I'll see people who have like the phone wallet, one thing, but it's also like I don't know, it has become like a giant like foldable thing. They've got more things than you could fit in a regular wallet. And it's like you have really, whenever I see those, boy, it actually stresses me out. It's like,
really?
Oh, it's just like you're trying to make two things one, and instead you've just like... So often when people are trying to combine things that have certain functions, you end up with the worst of both worlds.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. All-in-ones tend to be terrible.
Yes. All-in-ones tend to be terrible. And whenever I see those like giant foldable phone cases that have like a whole back sleeve where people have got like 17 cards, like you're missing the point.
Yeah.
The point if you're doing the phone wallet is to slim it down a lot. And it's so easy to be like, I do need those things. Like,
yeah.
I bet you carry like your, you know, health insurance or dental insurance card or your, I don't know, something with the number to call a tow truck. And you're like, well, I guess I should keep this because I don't know. You never know when you're going to need those specific things.
So for those, would you ever find yourself in a situation where you would, I'm taking this from a different organizational technique, but I'm seeing if I could apply it. Like if you had like if you took pictures of all of those cards, so you had all the information and then you put like a folder on your phone and like moved all of them in there where it's like, you know, just in all my important documents.
Yeah.
Or does that just set you up for like total identity theft if you've got like all of like your information marked in there? I'm second guessing my thoughts as I'm thinking about it.
Well, I think there are probably apps that are designed specifically to do this, and they probably encrypt your data pretty well.
Sure.
I don't know of any off the top of my head, but this sounds like something that absolutely must exist.
Right.
So I would say that. And then also I would recommend, phone security, like in terms of like, make sure you have a passcode on your phone.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know.
No. So anyway, the reason that I had this idea, I was watching like, just like one of these like little viral, like how to be organized videos.
Yeah.
And what the person did was they had a whole bunch of these, if you've ever been to like Lowe's or like one of the big box, whatever stores, they're like, it's like a black, like rubber made container with a yellow lid.
Yeah.
And this guy's garage, he had like 60 of them or something, like floor to ceiling. And what he had done was like gone through and put a bunch of stuff in there and then taken a like numbered all of them.
Yeah.
And then he took a picture of each of the totes, like looking down, that had like a piece of paper on top that had a list of everything that was in that tote.
Oh.
So then he could like literally go through and be like, oh, where are my rollerblades? And then be like, oh, they're in tote 36.
Interesting.
And so then you would like literally go to tote 36 and you'd be able to pull it out and you would know where everything is.
Mm.
Because that does become the problem on some level with totes, is you can't see what's inside of them.
Well, that's if you buy solid cover colored totes.
Do you have clear totes?
Well, Ben, buying totes is a stressful thing for me.
It is.
It is.
They need to match.
That's the problem. So the advantage, I know exactly the totes you're talking about that are like all black with a yellow lid.
Yes.
The great thing about them is they look nice and clean.
They sure do.
You can buy a bunch of them. They stack well.
Mm-hmm.
You can line them up in a row and they look nice together. Problem is, No idea what's inside.
No idea what's inside.
No idea what's inside. On the other hand, you can just get clear totes.
Right.
Advantage is you can see right inside from the outside. No problem. However, because you can see through them, they all just look like a mess from the outside.
They do.
So,
they do.
Bit of an issue there as well. I think what I would opt for, I just don't know. This is the kind of thing like I need to decide and then just go for it. That's right. The thing. You need to decide on an organizational system and then stick to it.
No, I think you're exactly
that's,
right.
That's
yes.
The real solution. It's like whether you want black totes with a labeling system or you want clear totes where you can see through everything, like both are going to work, but you want to be consistent.
You need to, I think that's the big thing though, is even committing to the idea that you need to have a way that something is organized. And it's like, who cares whether or not your way is like perfectly efficient if it works for you? That's fine. Like do whatever works for you.
Yeah.
But I have found like with my basement historically, just in any house I've lived in or even while I was in college, you know, like it's just a place where I would go and like set things.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, it's like well-intentioned and like you can usually stack things pretty nicely and like everything is still like relatively new in a box from moving,
right,
or, you know, still just in a box from when you purchased it and everything like looks okay. But then as time goes on, it's like, oh, I need like the Christmas tree stand.
It's like a collecting ground.
Yes. And then you go and like pull the Christmas tree stand out of your perfectly put together stack, which then means that the thing on top of it, which is probably a basket, then falls kind of like sideways and then a little like it's a little wee-wong all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then you've got this issue where everything is kind of like a very precarious stack.
Yeah.
Even though it was formerly a Jenga tower that had been untouched.
Yeah.
And now it's just a disaster.
Right.
And so, yeah, no, I think that there is something to be said for like easy access to all of your things and knowing where they are and
yeah.
like, and attempting, and this is my, it's like, I get so overwhelmed by it though.
It is. And this is why, like, so I don't know if you've watched Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
I have not.
You have not. Yeah. Great. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan. This is the kind of thing where it's like, there are like, you wouldn't think how many layers of organizing your stuff there could be or like tricks you could do to make it more organized, but like something like that she would suggest would be like, not only should the stuff be in the box, but it should be arranged in the box in such a way that when you open it, you can see everything in the box.
Yeah,
you
know? I like that.
So like the great example is always like, how do you stack shirts in your drawer? It's like, I bet you can see the three on top.
No, but you've told me about this before.
Yeah.
I started folding them differently. And
oh, you did?
It is life-changing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I do that. Okay, so then let me circle back then. Would you use one cup for an entire year?
It would be, this sounds like such a fun project for someone without kids, is what my answer is.
That's fair.
I'm so interested. Would you like try and document it?
I don't know. This is why I need a vlog. So I have like some way to like give updates, but like, guys, I'm still using the same cup and I love it.
Right.
Not the concept. I love my cup because
right.
I now have a relationship with my cup.
Would you name the cup?
Maybe.
I feel like you'd need
What to. I really can't decide is whether or not I would put stickers on the cup. Does that make it dirtier? Like, can it become more dirty because there are more surfaces other than the stainless steel?
I want to talk about something that stresses that also. These are such stupid things that stress me out. The idea of putting like a sticker on a cup to me, like I love the idea because I see other people and they'll have like, you know, there's Nalgene water bottles and they're covered all over the place. They got like a bazillion stickers. Like, oh, it looks such a cool look. Like, committing to putting the sticker on it is like, now this sticker is going to be here. What if I put it in the wrong spot? What if this isn't actually a very cool sticker? You know, it's like,
can you imagine?
I know. It's like, it makes no difference, but it like torments me. Like Luke has these sticker, has some, like people will buy him all these little things. Like he'll have these sticker books and it'll be like, here's, you know, a whole page of fish or you know, cows and, or whatever, you know, it'll be like, here's
great,
like a
great sticker books.
Yeah. Fish and cow.
Yeah.
It, you know, it'd be like a farm scene and they'll be like, you know, all the barnyard animals or something.
Right.
And it's like, to me, I can remember as a kid not having fun with a toy like this because everything would need to go in exactly the right spot. And it feels like there's no messing up. Like once you put a sticker on, that's where it's stuck.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh.
It's a commitment issue.
It's a commitment issue to where the stickers go.
To the
And it's also like this, if I use up all the stickers, then I won't be able to put any more stickers on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
conservation of stickers.
Conservation of stickers. Like, if I use them all, I won't be able to play. But if I play, I might play wrong.
Okay. Man, I feel like we have covered more topics in today's episode than possibly ever before.
Yeah.
From flinging crab apples to the single cup phenomenon sweeping the nation.
That's right.
So my question for all the lovely folks out there this week is going to be, would you commit to a single cup for an entire year?
Yes.
And would you name your cup?
What would you name your cup? Your hole?
For some reason, mine's named Fred.
Fred?
Fred.
Okay.
Fred the cup.
Fred the cup.
It's all like, right. It's like, since you asked me that, it's the only name that's been inside of my head is Fred.
It feels right.
It does feel right. Yeah. It doesn't. Oh man. It's like, where's Fred? As if I would ever lose Fred.
I know. But then you'd, you know, say, would the cup like live at the house? Or no, would you like bring it with you?
I would bring it with me. Yeah.
So then scenario, I can imagine the kind of problems where you're like, oh, I left it at work.
No, but you don't leave it at work.
Right. Because like, you have such a relationship.
Because it's Fred. You don't leave Fred at work.
Right. Okay.
And that's the game plan. Yeah. It's like, and that's like what it comes down to. It's like it becomes something. And like, I don't leave my phone at work.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. And so like, that's what it comes down to. It's like, you have to respect Fred the cup.
Right. Like, you're going to be aware of Fred all the time because no Fred equals thirsty Ben.
Equals thirsty Ben. Otherwise, driving back to work, Ben, because I only got the one cup.
I only got that one cup.
Yeah.
See, this is why it's dangerous to even have guest cups then. Yeah, because you'd be like, not guest cup tonight. I'll just get Fred tomorrow. And then you're going to be like, what would Fred think? I'm cheating on him right now.
I know. But it's like anything. It's like, the more you get committed to an idea and the longer like the run you've had for one, the more it becomes a pattern of your behavior. And two, the more you feel like committed to like the integrity of the idea.
This feels like such a day, not like the, it's such a fun idea and I super hope you try it, but like the act of committing feels like you must get rid of all of your other cups.
Well, and I know, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, antagonistic towards other cups by
no,
any
no,
stretch.
I understand that, but like, it seems to me like if you're just like, well, I'm gonna try the one cup thing, but I'm gonna put the rest of my cups in a box in the basement in case it doesn't work out. Feels like you're just asking for it to not work out. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, well, there's an out. There's still an out.
There's still an out.
You know, it's like, I don't know if you watch the show Married at First Sight, where they're like, oh, you're married. Where the premise of the show is,
you get married at first sight.
Yeah, you get married at first sight.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, let's follow these couples for 8 weeks and see how their marriages go. But it's like, at the end of 8 weeks, they have to make another decision, which is, do you want to stay together? Which to me, that's part of what causes so much of the drama. Is because it's like, they know they're still an out. Like, they still have, like, that card.
Right.
It's not like, like, if it's a straight-up arranged marriage where it's like, this is it. It's like, your motivation to make it work, way higher. The fact that there is an out is like,
oh, that does undercut it.
It does, yeah.
I'm only like 4 episodes into the only season I've ever watched, and I did not realize that they could leave at the end of it because they make such a big deal. Like, this is a binding lifetime. This is for the rest of my life. And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
But maybe that's part of the show.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Right.
Well, so I get what you're saying.
Don't leave divorce on the table, Ben.
No. Yeah. So
you and Fred.
So me and Fred forever.
Yeah. Or for 1 year.
or for 1 year. Yeah. There's an out at the end of 1 year.
That's right.
But yeah, no, I would have such a lovely relationship with Fred. He'd be like my, you know, like my cup.
Be your cup. Your whole.
Everyone needs a cup. One. Just one.
Man.
Anyway,
so many things to consider.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Popcorn Culture. I want to give a special thank you to the following patrons who support us over on Patreon. That would be Jess Aykroyd, Jonathan Ansley, Amanda E. Hicks, Graciela Leahy, Mike McAuliffe, Grayson Lounsbury, Dylan Campbell, and Natalie Villarreal. Which we actually, our trainer's last name is Villarreal.
Yeah.
But I have had conversations with him before, talking specifically on Natalie Villarreal right now.
Yeah.
I have no idea whether or not it is the like Spanish pronunciation. I'm probably butchering it anyway because I'm not very good at Spanish, but I believe that is how it's pronounced. So I feel like I had more trouble with Lounsbury from Grayson there.
Well,
Lounsbury?
I mean, our trainer is from, I guess, Mexico.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know.
It's still Spanish.
It's still the Spanish language, but I'm not sure it would be like this, like the pronunciation from Spain.
Oh no, sure. Well, yeah. I mean, and I've talked to him about that before, and he has specifically told me that it has been adopted into Villarreal,
okay,
as like sort of the progression of the difficulty of maybe people's ability to pronounce.
It has been like just normalized for
people
who can't pronounce Villarreal.
Kind of like how our last name, I believe, originally was like Carolyn. Like it's like much more Irish.
Yeah.
And now it's, I think there was an O in there.
Maybe.
But now it's just Carlin.
Yeah.
I always think our last name's kind of weird because it's like, it's such a normal sounding last name. And yet I feel like we meet very few people with that last name.
Yeah.
It's like as normal as Smith, but not as common as Smith.
Certainly not. We're very unique, I guess, except for all those other Carlins out there.
Except for all those other Carlins. Shout out to all of you guys.
What's up?
Once upon a time, this is just a fun fact before we finally close out today's episode, which we're getting dangerously close to doing. Someone named Ben Carlin added me on...
Facebook. Yeah.
And I thought it was just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I'm friends with the Jonathan Carlin on Facebook.
Are you really? It's like, dude, we have the same name.
What?
We've probably had the exact same life.
Yeah.
How's Fred? Anyway, guys, have a fantastic week. We will talk to you next time.
Pop, pop.